This recording is a production of Faith Builders. This presentation was recorded at Reach 2013, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 14 and 15, 2013.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. When you're given an assignment, you always wonder who's going to be your audience. Now, I know. Well, as you saw on the brochures, my name's Ken Niza. I'm from Hillcrest Home in Harrison, Arkansas, and also have a wife. We just came from a session that talked about raising your children in ministry. My day has been tremendously blessed thus far. Just got a lot of pointers and a lot of refreshment being here already today. Also have a granddaughter. There's a little family intro there. We've been there at the home for almost 9 years, and I was probably of all the responsibilities that I saw on my to-do list or my job description when I came there, this was the one that probably frightened me the most. It felt huge, and it still is, but I have grown to embrace it, I guess, rather than look at it as something that's a thorn in the flesh. I think there would have been a time I viewed it that way, and I'll get to that a little later. Also like to talk a little bit about, I don't know what your expectations were, because I saw three different titles for my assignment. And I did a real big panic on it last week when I saw it was changed again, and I called the board to make sure that we were on the same page here, because I wanted to meet their expectations, and they said, yeah, it just kind of got changed a little bit as we went. It was given to me, just so you know where I'm headed with this, it was given to me as accountability to our churches and the constituency as a ministry. Then it went from that to relating with the church constituency. And the last thing I saw, it just said simply relating to churches. And I was thinking, well, there's people here that are thinking this is going to be about like a minister relating to his congregation. I'm not prepared for that. This is going down a different path than that. This is going to be talking about our relating as a ministry back to the churches, back to a larger constituency. And I put the word churches in here because I realize we have so many different organizations here. Some could be one church, some could even be two churches, but I'm going to always be, you'll hear it today through my eyes as at Hillcrest, we would be, our board that we're accountable to is put in by the Beachy constituency, a five-man board. So in my eyes, I'm accountable to the Beachy constituency, but I'm going to take you to other places too to show you that it's broader than that, much, much broader. I'm going to tell you a few things today that are kind of elementary, but with my simple understanding, I can relate better with elementary things. So I'm going to start out with an elementary story to show you a little bit where we're going with this assignment. I'm a person that enjoys the out-of-doors, the woods. I enjoy hunting. So we're going to tell you a little story today about three animals to help bring out a little illustration. But the porcupine wanted to have a party with his friends, so he invited him. The only people that showed up was the chipmunk and the turtle. And they decided they're going to plan a picnic a certain day next week, and we're going to go on this picnic. So they said, well, three of us, we each get to pick what we want to eat. And the chipmunk said, well, I have to have lemonade. And the porcupine said, I have to have cookies. And the turtle said, well, there's nothing in life better than a sandwich. So right there, they had a picnic. So they brought those items, and when they got together to go, now think a little bit about accountability, trust. That's happening with these little critters here. They don't know how it happened, but they packed this picnic basket and left, and the sandwiches didn't get put in. And they got down to the creek and got everything out ready to eat. All they had was lemonade and cookies. And the turtle said, well, we got to have a sandwich for picnic. And the chipmunk said right away, I can't carry them. They're heavier than I can carry. And the porcupine said, if I carry them, what time I get here, they're going to be full of holes because of my quills. So it all came back to the turtle, the guy that requested it. He said, well, I'll go get them. But you got to promise me something. You will not start the picnic until I get back. Oh, they said, that won't be a problem. We want the sandwiches too. So he left. And just before he got out of sight, he looked back and said, now you promised you're not going to take a bite till I get back. They said, that's right. And they waited and they waited and they waited. And this guy just didn't come back. And they were getting weak. They were getting so hungry. And the sun was going down, and the porcupine looked at the chipmunk, and he said, I wonder if it would matter if we just if we would just eat one cookie apiece. And the turtle raised his head up over a log and he said, if you do, I'm not going to go. Now, come back to a question I'd like to find out. Who all here is a part of a team? Okay. And who all is in a place of ministry? A service unit or mission field or, okay. And probably some board members. We have that. Okay. What else am I missing? Say it if you're on something else besides that. Christian Day School. And you probably still find yourself in a team with that? Or okay. I'll be talking today quite a bit about team and boards and then relating on out further than that. When I got this assignment, something that's important to me, and you'll see, even on my handouts, since I'm here, I see myself all over that. It's very imperfect. There's a place numbering's way out of kilter, so you just have to bear with me. That's me. I accept it. I'll be transparent about it. You'll see that the thing that I wanted to do is I always like, if we're going to be insistent on something and say that something has to be a certain way, surely we can back it up somewhere in Scripture. And I kept thinking about this, and all at once I thought about something. I said, I wonder what that's saying in there. And I got very excited, and it's the theme that I want to show you for. This is going to be our theme for the subject today. I got so excited about it, I made you a little business card and put the name Hillcrest on there for two reasons. If you use it as a bookmark, when you see it, you'll be reminded to pray for us. And the second reason, I want you to see that verse often. That second verse there is what this whole thing is going to be about. We take this course that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. Now, what I didn't know, this verse is not what I thought about. I was thinking about the instance. So I went and checked it out, and then after I checked it out, I saw this verse. It never caught my attention before. And what happened, Paul was talking about this church. He told them about a need, and they started taking offerings up. And I guess it accumulated into a pretty good amount. And then to move this money from point A to point B, they put, I think it was three people. He said that they're going to put it, one he named, the other two made reference that they had a good reputation. And he said, we're going to send these three people with this gift to church B. And this was the reason. He said, because if you read the account, it goes on and says, we don't want any questions asked that anything was done that could be questioned. And this verse 21 is what he said, therefore we aim at what is honorable. And that's what we want when we think of representing a ministry, a gift, or whatever. We want to aim at what is honorable. And my boys are big into archery, and I see them out there. They practice, and they aim, and most times they hit. But it takes practice, and it takes aiming. It takes being persistent. And I think it takes also us sometimes stopping and taking a look and maybe asking others, how am I being perceived? Another thing that I'm going to hone in on today is the safety of teamwork. Now, the thing that I have never done this before with handouts, so I have little brackets in my notes, and I'm going to try to point out to you if there's blanks to fill in, and if I miss something, please feel free to bring it to my attention. The first one that you have, I think, is going to say there is safety in having a team to work with. The thing that I see woven all through the New Testament is whether you go to this account, if you look up the word elders and bishops, it's always plural, never singular. So the idea of a team is there. If you look at Jesus sending out the 70 disciples, the idea of teamwork, he sent them out two by two. And I think there's a reason for that, and we want to get into that a little bit later. The next one there you have is, as a team, we should also have the same goals, but if everyone thinks alike, someone is not needed. Learning to value, that's your next blank there, the team member who is the most my opposite is an important step to then relating to those that we are accountable to. The last one there is accountable. If something that I had never, I've had the privilege of working under two boards. I worked under AMA in Belize for a couple years, and now this round at Hillcrest, I've been working in the MIC board. In Belize, it was a team, but it wasn't anything like I have now, because there we get together once a month with the other missionaries. So at the place, my place of service, I was kind of by myself. But where I'm at now, it's daily. We have team meetings daily, and we have meetings. Sometimes we meet until we're just about can't handle anymore. But I like for it to for us to think about something. In a little bit, I'm going to get into the team deal again, and I'm going to go through real briefly a little bit of the strengths or maybe weaknesses of my team and what they contribute to me, and how dangerous it would be if I'd be doing that. I would not be there by myself. I can promise you that. It just wouldn't happen. Value your team. If you're with the team, learn to value, especially the people that are the most opposite of you. Learn to value them. Before we move on, I want to ask you to say this verse with me one more time. Verse 21. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. Accountability. All right. If we are accountable, we can say it right away, if someone is here that's not on the team, well, that's for y'all. But I differ with that, because everybody in this room is accountable to somebody. If we're married, we're accountable to your spouse. If you're a church member, you're accountable to your church. We can never get away from it. One of the hardest aspects of leadership is accountability. This does not come easily. And the thing that I see that we need to be aware of and fear the most is that the strongest leaders are the ones that resist it the most. Leaders tend to be the kind that are kind of will move out on their own. They like adventure. They like new things. And they don't like to be told what to do. For us men, this is probably gender related. Think about you and your wife driving somewhere and neither one is sure where you are. But we're pretty convinced if we go one more curve, it'll clear up for us. And she's saying, "Won't you stop and ask somebody?" We don't like that input. I don't. Just 2 weeks ago, I had that happen to me. We were on the way home from a funeral with a van load, and I was trying to catch a nap up front with the driver while he was driving. We stopped to get gas, and he said, "Somebody else needs to drive." And I said, "Where are we?" And he said, "We're almost in Effingham." Well, it was a cloudy day. I'm a person that watches direction. I couldn't tell where east was or west. I had no clue. We got out on the interstate, and I saw a sign for Effingham and went for it. And sure enough, a little bit we went through Effingham, but a half hour later, all once I started paying attention, we were headed exactly where we didn't want to go. Problem was, he'd been through Effingham before we stopped. So it was two-minute problem. They had problems there, but it was hard on me. I just had to admit it. It was hard. We lost a whole hour. Accountability is contrary to our very nature. If we think back to the first team that has ever been recorded, and that was Adam and Eve, they were given a responsibility directly linked to an accountability. Their reaction tells us a lot about how we as leaders can be prone to be. And I see the man that got me on this idea just walked in the door, so hang on with me here. But Richie, you're the guy that got me started on this idea, and I believe it's right. And Richie told me years ago that this is what he thinks Adam and Eve look like. When they, these little pictures we see in coloring books about the one leaf idea, they were terrified. They didn't want to be transparent. They didn't want to be accountable. And Richie told me a long time ago, he thinks they look more like a bush than anything else. So that's why I put that up there. The idea of us being transparent and accountable does not come naturally. We resist it with everything we got. We need to be careful and watch out for that. I think another thing that, if I'm honest, that I struggle with sometimes is that I worry more about accountability to people than I do to God. That bothers me. We need to be very much aware that that's our first accountability. But for some reason, we tend to be more sensitive to people with skin that are looking in on us as an organization. On your papers there, are you ready for, we as leaders naturally resist accountability and transparency, is what the blanks are there. We are prone to try to hide our mistakes and to blame others. That's also what happened with Adam and Eve. They They just started blaming right away. Is your next blank on your paper there says who are you accountable to? That's not the next one? We are defensive. Yeah, we become defensive. Okay? I think if we're honest, the thing that when we're put in a corner and wrongdoing is starting to be pointed out or we're questioned, our first instinct is to do that, deny all, admit nothing, and to blame someone else. And we had good teachers in that. If you go back and look, what I just mentioned there about Adam and Eve, not that it's their fault. It's in our nature. Our fallen nature is programmed to do that. I want to think about transparency. The more I studied this, I think the more excited I became. I didn't realize that the two were so closely combined and you cannot separate them. You will not be accountable if you're not transparent. It's impossible to be. If hiding ourselves is not acceptable, then we must be transparent. The foundational element of being transparent or transparency is truth-telling, being open, honest, and sincere, and putting oneself out there for everyone to see just exactly how you are. The essence of truth-telling is being comfortable in one's own skin. What you see is what you get. Next part of the presentation that I want us to think about now, and this is where I got excited, because I don't care how much of a desire you have with the group, the team, the organization that you are here representing. If your desire is for my team to be transparent and accountable to the constituency or your church or your board, you will not go any further as a team than you're willing to be with each other. That is going to be, I'm going to hone in on that pretty hard, that don't expect your team to rise above where you're at as a person. I'm going to try to do a little illustration here. This is representing, I'm going to say Hillcrest, because that's where I am the most familiar with. And this camouflage that I have around there is keeping you from seeing what's inside. Now, I'm just going to pretend that a couple things happen. Don't get the idea this ever happens with 40 or 50 youth living there, but maybe something happens that's just not quite the way that we as an organization would wish it would be, and it kind of leaks out, and parents start calling. So I'm going to say by their calling, they're asking to see in to try to figure out what happened here. So we're going to remove this cover here, and I'm going to let you look in and be transparent with you. And if you've seen this before, just bear with me. But I want you to, in your mind, now that you're looking into my organization or the ministry I'm involved with, I want you to, you without a shadow of a doubt, come to some conclusion of what's in that jar. Because you can see it. So what is it? I mean, no, it's not Pepsi. No, it's not gas. So what is it? You decide right now what you think it is. So can you tell me a couple of things that you're convinced it isn't? Not milk? Not oil? Okay. Well, I'm gonna try. I hope my illustration works. If I were to take this hammer and nail, make a hole in there, and then hope the fire department's not too far away. You can't see that, but it's actually burning. There's flame there. Now that I start explaining what happened, did something happen in your mind? Did you change anything? Anybody here change what they think it is in there? It's not water. Okay. All right, well, let's park that a little bit. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that transparency is free from pretense or deceit, is easily seen through, readily understood, characterized by visibility or accessibility of information, especially concerning business. Only through transparency can we truly come to know who we are as a person. If we are not open and transparent with others, we cannot even be honest ourselves. One of my teammates just told me a story yesterday, or the day before, something that made an impression on me about being transparent with who we are. He was at a meeting, and he saw this lady work there. We take care of the elderly at Hillcrest. We often, several times a year, we will go to conventions, nursing conventions. In that world, it's just a given. There's a lot more women in that world than men. So we see a lot of women. We work with a lot of nurses. I have a lot of CNAs. We have way more ladies that we take care of in the nursing home than men because they outlive us. So our workforce has a lot more women than men. But he at this meeting, he saw this lady kept looking at him with a look on her face like he was supposed to know who she was. And he just couldn't pull it together. And finally he went over to her after the meeting and he said, I know your face, but I don't remember. She said, you don't remember me. And she told him a story. At a training 3 years ago, they were put into a small group. And they were supposed to decide as a group, the whole point was to show teamwork, the best way to accomplish something. They were given some instructions. And Phil was pretty adamant that his way was the way to go. So they did it as a team and it fell flat. It didn't work. And he came back to this lady. She was the one promoting another way to do it. And he came back to her and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, my idea was not good, and I want to apologize for that. Your idea would have been a whole lot better. And he totally forgot about it, but it made such an impression on this lady that she's now using as an illustration. She's a trainer with this organization. She uses that story about the willingness to admit when we're wrong or to be transparent, and it made that big impression on her. How do you describe the leaders and team members in your place of ministry? Are they open? Why or why not? Are they transparent? If they're not, do you think of things that you could do to help them be? Are there things that you can adjust personally that would call them to a higher level of living and being transparent? Do you demand or expect transparency from others while being cloudy yourself? In leadership, we must be examples of what we expect and have higher expectations of ourselves than what we place on others. Do you describe yourself as being transparent? Are you trustworthy? How would your spouse or your closest friend describe you? What about your team members? Do you have any idea how they view you? And would you be willing to go ask them? I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't kill you, but at times it might feel like it does. It does help crucify pride and self, but it's healthy. That is very good to do. Just say, hey, guys, I want you to be honest with me. How do you see me? Am I living my life transparently? Am I trustworthy? Is there anything about me that you wish would be different? I have a question. Is not being transparent a form of a lie? I saw this verse. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now we're thinking about your ministry being here, your board here, and the church here, maybe the organization out here. If you think about not being clear, and we're members one of another, it's pretty serious. It's a direct command here, talking about the way we relate to each other. We need to be clear. Just because I'm far from my home church, I am still members with them or with you, whoever you are accountable to. I should want to be open and relate closely with you. There, another lesson that I learned, it made an impression on me. I was with the fire department for years, so there at Hillcrest, I've enjoyed being involved with our disaster drills and the excitement that come with storms, if there's tornadoes around. And I was taking a disaster training course. And this is a person now from society saying this. They were given instructions, if anything ever happens to your facility, you're talking about nursing homes, and the media comes out and they interview you, their instructions were always make it worse than what you think it might be. Because if it's the other way, and you try to smooth it out and say it's not really that bad, but the next day news comes out that it's much worse than you as the administrator or director portrayed it, you just lost your credibility. And think about that back to the church. It's very important that when people ask those questions that we give accurate information, because that's not only we're members of one another, but we want to be known as truth tellers. Don't hedge on facts. Okay. Y'all still convinced on what you're seeing here? Now what's in there? And the point is I want to make with this, and the other one here too, I'll just go ahead and take that off, is that we as leaders, as dads, board members, whoever we are, we have the ability that when we're under the gun and there's questions being asked, we can do whatever we want. We're created that way. We can just slightly move the details, the facts, and you can lead people to believe what you want. And it is absolutely wrong. If we are men of integrity, we need to give accurate information and be transparent and upfront with what happened. I promise you, truth will always stand, and we need to be very transparent. This is something here that is very obvious in a team. It is so much more clear what your teammates' problems are. You can point it out to them. They can't see it. And we fail to realize that it's the very same thing for them. Our problems, our shortcomings are clear to them. What is so evident in others is so hard for us to see in ourselves. Think about the team you're on. Is it hard to spot pride or the other one being judgmental, or if they're just plain hard-headed? They can just, sometimes it seems like they're so blind. I mean, why can something be so clear to me and this guy is sitting over here and he don't see it? Why is that? How can he not get it when it's so clear to me? Some of the dynamics that come in when we are relating to each other as a team. Too often when our weaknesses are exposed, we are defensive and resistive to what is being pointed out. As I said before, our team at Hillcrest, we have a daily stand-up meeting for 15 minutes, and once a week, a 1 to 2 hour meeting. So we see a lot of each other, and I guess it's like we Southerners would say, we know each other like the back of our hands. And, you know, you can come to, say if something happens with a staff member or an employee, and it's so clear to me, and I come to this meeting, and I know that because one of the other team members is real good friends with him, the problem that happens sometimes is that you formulate in your mind what your team member's response is going to be. That's dangerous. Because we know each other, it happens, but be careful with that because, well, all that does is fuel your fire for your differences in your team. You might wonder where I'm going with this, of why so much emphasis on team, but I think the only way we are truly going to be transparent and accountable to our board or to our churches is if we as a team are transparent with each other. I'll say that several times. Keep honing in on that. Focus on strengths. That's one thing that our team at Hillcrest has chosen to do. I'm gonna go run through that right quick. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a go around the circle. It's the five of us men, the way I see it. There's one. I'm not gonna say which one of us it is. One of us that's the ideas man and likes change. There's one that has an agenda. He's the agenda man. There's one that's practical. And practical people usually rather fix things and buy new things. There's one that's a business man. And there's one that's a file cabinet. Now, I will say this. The file cabinet and me are complete opposites. My file cabinet looks more like a fridge. Just open the door and it's in there somewhere. But our file cabinet has folders, and inside those folders are files. They're this thick. I'm talking about up here. Tremendous memory retention. But my point is, the guy that is my most opposite is my strength, because he can do what I can't. And he's verbalized to me. He needs me because I'm providing something he can't come up with. So really, if you think about it, for those of us that are married, that's what attracted you to your spouse. And it's amazing how quick those attractions turn into distractions after you're married. The very thing attracted you to her, isn't that true? There comes a time where those turn into irritations and you have to step back and say, why was I attracted to her anyway? So you got to deal with the team sometimes too. It's not good for teams just to work together. You have to sometimes have good times in order to keep that appreciation going. One thing that we do at Hillcrest that I started since I'm there, and it has never gone away. In fact, the office girls don't want to have off on Friday because 10 o'clock on Friday, we have a coffee break for the office people, and you're not allowed to talk about business. It's just a time of relating. We really enjoy that. Beware of being blind to your own tendencies. Remember, when we are backed into a corner with our back to the wall, how we react is really who we are. So if I'm accountable, who is watching me? And I'm going to run through this right quick. At Hillcrest, for the people that I've kind of listed out here who I think I'm accountable to, God sees everything. Yet if I'm honest, I often forget that He's the one I'm most accountable to. Society, we have a tremendous amount of people watching us, even down to our mission trips. Our maintenance man says he goes in the hardware store, and they ask him, hey, where's your next mission trip going? We have family members. We have like 90 to 95 residents and their family members coming in and out all the time. They are watching. I had a very rewarding experience just lately. I stopped by. We have a room called the Comfort Care Room at Hillcrest. When a person's in their last stages of life, we put them in there so the family can have private time with them. And the daughter came and told me, she said, Ken, I've been a Christian 8 years now. But she said, I didn't know what it meant to live it out until I put mom in here. And I watch your workers relating to mom and taking care of her. Now I know what it means to live your Christianity out. And she was very challenged by what she saw there. And it's not just a one-way street. With society, we can think, we got to be examples. That some of the people that come into Hillcrest that aren't from our background at all are very big challenges to me. Just in the way they relate to their spouse. They don't get anything out of that relationship. They're totally out of it mentally. And we have a couple men that come in there 3 times a day, feed their wife every meal that they ever take. Just loyal to all the way through. Churches are someone that we're accountable to. I don't care where we're at. We are representing our home church. If you find yourself serving somewhere that is on a standard scale is more liberal than what you're used to, you can honor your church. And we expect our young people or whoever is serving at Hillcrest to still honor their home church standards, even if our standard at Hillcrest is more liberal than what they're used to. That's one way you can honor your home church and be accountable, supporting your home church standards. Be open to what the churches may want to tell you. I remember I barely walked in the door at Hillcrest, and a bishop from across the other side of the U.S. called me. And he just went through me. I was like, oh, because I was already a little uptight about this accountability thing. And he said, hey, I want to tell you something. I just love it that he did this. He said, I want you to go outside your office, and we have a storyboard up, Hillcrest from 1953 to now. And he said, there's a picture on there you need to look at. I was like, do what? You're 1,300 miles away, and you know what's on that board out there? And I went and looked, and he was right. There's a picture that shouldn't have been on there. It was something that happened at a social that did not leave a good example, to whoever would look at it. And I appreciate that. I want to be the kind of person that people can pick up the phone and call. I remember another time I wrote an article, and it barely hit the press, and this guy from North Carolina was calling. And it wasn't critical. It was just a phrase that I put in there. He said that he woke him in the night and thought of it. It blessed him. So it's not always people calling that they're saying that there's something we're doing wrong. I will say this, in relating to churches, that people will remember things that go wrong a whole lot longer than the good. It's sad, but that's how it works. I call it a 15-year bubble. People remember stuff for about 15 years, and it's hard to do away with it. something that we do that feels good to us, if we sense a dad or a minister hesitating because of what happened 15 years ago, we try to get them there. That, I think, in all cases has taken care of people not wanting to send their youth there. Of coming, we ask, just come in, check us out. That's one way we can be transparent, is asking them to come see for themselves. I remember one group coming that were probably about as plain, as far as on the standard scale, would have been about as plain as anyone that comes to Hillcrest. They had a couple questions, and they were there, I think, 45 minutes, and got in their vehicle, went back home. They said, what we feel here, we like. We're fine with it. So that was a blessing. We also put it, for a little while, we had a program called SOAR, Service Opportunities. Oh, I forget what the other acronyms were for it, but it was a time when parents could bring their youth there for a weekend and shadow different departments to see if it's something they would be interested in. That had a good effect on parents also. Something else that I had to think of, when we think of relating or being accountable to our church, it's not a one-way street. You cannot relate with something if it's just one-sided. And something that I thought of that blessed me, I didn't know if he was going to be here in the group today or not. He's here in the bigger sense as our lead pastor at home, our bishop, has done very well in keeping us that are away from home up to date. He sends us very detailed minutes on members' meetings, probably 3 or 4 times a month. He texts me a Bible verse, and we have this little, it's not always serious. That's good, too. We had this little thing happen. I see I'm about out of time. I'll try to keep going here. There was something that happened with one of my residents there at Hillcrest, and he heard this story. And the guy had gotten in his head that if you think that you're 21, you can go back to being 21. And our lead pastor got such a kick out of that. Now he uses that we use that to let each other know what kind of day we had or how we're feeling. If he says, I'm 23, I know he's coming off of 21 a little bit, so he's not feeling quite so young anymore. Okay, the next level that I would be accountable to is the mission board. That is, we only see our board twice a year, but different places I was today in workshops, I picked up on that, how extremely important it is to have board input. And I've had people come to me and ask me since I'm at Hillcrest, what's your relationship to your board? And they were coming with a chip on their shoulder because the organization they work with, it wasn't going well. And I guess I get warm fuzzies inside when I think about that, because I told him, I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, when our board comes, we look forward to it. We have a good time with them. It takes two ways to relate, and I'll say that with both boards I've served under, AMA and MIC, has been very good experiences. I think it's because they're men of integrity also. You can't have men on a board calling people out of the organization and demanding transparency and accountability from them when they don't want to be that way themselves. It's a two-way street. I also had the privilege, I won't use that word, it was not a privilege, another organization, a whole board, and personnel came to have a visit with me to see how our organization did it. And it was sad because obviously there was trust lost. And from what I could tell, it was because of one board member from that board setting that he wasn't being fair, I don't think. He was demanding things from the personnel that he was over that he wouldn't been willing to do himself. And he wanted every penny accounted for. And the setting they were in, it was hard to have a paper trail for everything that you do, for every cent. I think it's sad if we have people that we have chosen to work for us that we're not going to trust. Trust goes a long way in being accountable. I mentioned teams. I can't tell you how important that is, that me as a person, I have to be accountable to my team. I cannot make it outside on my own. How about when a team member from your group travels to other organizations giving presentations? Do you trust what they're saying? Are they giving a good account of themselves? Are they accounting? Are they representing the organization in a way that you trust? Or do you wish you could just do it yourself? We have to be able to trust each other. Do I value the opinions of the rest of my team players? Something that I learned quickly in learning this thing of being a team member, I remember sitting there with my mouth hanging open, I think. Something happened and I'm a person, there's a lot going on. I'll just sometimes wake up and problem solve, and I had the answer. Came to the meeting the next morning, and I told them I think I got it figured out. And when we walked away from that table, my mouth had to be hanging open, because the stuff that the other guys supplied, I never thought of. It was my first introduction that there's more than one way to do things, and if we work together, we're going to come up with a better idea than what we would have come up with on our own. Okay, these people all here watching me, that makes me feel like this, if I'm honest. But we can turn that into something good. I remember years ago, a brother told me that when you're in a setting like this, it feels like you're sitting in a glass house. But remember, you can do good things in a glass house. It'll make life grow in yourself. If you take that to like a greenhouse, you have to have good things coming in. You have to have sunshine. You have to be clear what's going on, but it produces growth within yourself. Okay, I apologize. I thought I did not have enough material. I'm seeing I'm probably not going to make it through here. The things that I'm going to tell you that we have to be accountable for as organizations, I'm going to put them up here on the board, and I'm not going to have time to go through them. That saddens me, because I felt that was very important. I'm going to go back to that. Sorry about that. I'll read them off to you. Things that we are accountable for at Hillcrest: spiritual temperature and atmosphere, organizational standards, finances, everyday decisions. That's a huge one that I feel responsible for at Hillcrest. If you think about over the course of 8-9 years, every day, little decisions that we make. We're doing a big construction project, and the guy that's in charge of the job told me one day that from this point, this was a point he had to get with his GPS for the way that the new building was going to sit in the property. He said, if I'm off 1 degree on that corner out there, it's going to be off between 8 and 9 feet. And I want you to think about that as an organization. Being off just a little bit in years down the road is going to be off course quite a bit. Who we choose to be on the team. We heard about that this morning in the workshop that was in here. When you go to replace team members, who you bring in is going to affect the dynamics of that team greatly. So it's very important you do your homework on who you're bringing in. Open communication with your board is very important when you think of being accountable. I'm going to have to stop there. I'm going to open it up for questions for the last 2 minutes. I wasn't completely done, but I'm just going to say we're going to keep it at that. Any questions? I'm not going to answer them. Someone else here will answer them. Huh? Felt good. It's water. What I had, it's an illusion, and if it would have worked the way I wanted to, you would be able to see the flame a lot better. But I had a material on top that was flammable. But I wanted to bring that point out that if we want to, we can be transparent or not transparent. This also represents me as a team player. If I'm not we can be transparent in an organization, but people looking are going to see that we're not transparent, and what we want is transparency with each other as a team player. Anything else? Well, thank you. You've been a good audience. I don't know if this was what met your expectations, but it was a challenge for me to look at this, and I think I learned a few things about myself that will help me be more transparent. Lord bless you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders Educational Programs. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.